Okay, so the last ruins we tried to see were Shelha and Shkare.
We succeeded in seeing Shelha, and we failed to see Shkaret. Both ruins, we'd heard that we would not be able to see them, because there are eco parks in Shelha, and there's in Shkaret as well. And I'm not sure about the origin of this, but I've heard that, you know, it's this guy who just wanted to build big condos, and then he was overcome by the beauty of the site. And first he made the Shkaret Eco Park, and then he made so much money off that that then he made Shelha and Shplor, and he's also making another one. Shplor is not really what it's Explore. Called. It's called Explore, but it's spelled X-P-L-O-R, which in Spanish would probably be pronounced Shplor.
Mm-hmm. And it's a subterranean world. It costs more than $1,000. It costs like $100 or so to go to.
It doesn't matter how much it costs. It's just really offensive. And so anyways, but starting off, we went to Shelha. And Shelha, all of these things, all of these, except for Shplor, obviously. Shelha and Shkaret and several of these, they're all ruins that have those names. And then those names get co-opted by whatever eco park or hotel. And in these cases, it's sort of the hyperbole. This is like the ultimate. This is commercialization of ruins to the nth level, where literally no one goes to the ruins because they think that they're just part of.
Or they don't exist.
Right.
You've got to pay the thousands.
Shelha is not a ruin. Shelha is now just this hotel, this eco park.
Right. It's taken the name.
So the two are a little bit different. Shelha, when asking about going to see the ruins, because I knew about the ruins, that they're on my map, we'd heard about them in class, and so we went to Shelha, but everybody had told us that, no, Shelha is this eco park, you can't go there, it's crazy expensive. But I was like, no, it's a ruin, it's on the side of the highway. So when you have this situation where everybody thinks it's an eco park, no one goes to the ruin. We met the guy there. He says the main problem is that the highway is designed in this way that nobody can go there unless they happen to be driving between Cancun and Tulum. But if you drive from Cancun there, then you have like this, it's really difficult to turn around and come back.
Yeah,
if you're driving from Tulum, it's really difficult to go there and come back.
We did a U-turn in the middle of the road by jumping across the barrier, and that's easy on a bicycle, not so easy on a car.
Right. Well, you can jump over a barrier in a car, but usually it's because you're drunk. But so we met this guy, and he was a really nice guy, and it was kind of shocking to us that he'd been working in this ruin for 20-odd years, 35 years in the archaeological department, and like 20-odd years in this same ruin at that same desk with, you know, one person coming a day, one group coming a day.
He said a good week had 10 groups a week, but 10 pairs a week is what he said.
Yeah, 10 couples, 10 groups of people, small groups of people. I was surprised, actually. We did see a family coming into the ruin as we were going out, but they had all their swimming gear, and so I suspect that they were only going to the free cenote, which is, yeah, Shelha is a really nice ruin. It's not as impressive as some of the others, but it had some very nicely preserved murals, and it had, you know, sort of your typical, this is where an impressive building once stood, this is a large pile of rocks, this is a half-reconstructed ruin.
But I think the mural of the descending god was really cool.
Yeah, there were some of these murals that were very well-preserved murals, that were very interesting murals that... If there was a mural like that in Chichen Itza or in Tulum, this is my main point, is that you would be able to see it for 1 second because there'd be 100 people all around you. And here you are, just immersed in this site. You're there in the site, and it's you and the trees and the rocks.
And of course, 10 years ago, some idiot would have poured acetone over the one in Chichen Itza, and it wouldn't be there anymore.
Right. So anyways, and yeah, there's a free cenote. I mean, a lot of the cenotes around here are 50 to 100 pesos to go swim in a cenote, and you can pay 10 pesos, or if you're a student, you can go free to Shelha, and you can go see the ruins and then go swimming. So, Shelha was a nice ruin, and it's kind of sad that no one goes there. And I was saying at the time that it's sort of indicative of the lost Mexico, of this way that, you know, people just drive in their bus between Playa del Carmen and Tulum and just skip right past this site. There's this Mexico that no one goes to see. And you know, meanwhile, it's just there. Not properly restored and not having any money going to it. And then meanwhile, people are just like just dropping hundreds of dollars at Xcaret. And so Xcaret, we'd read about this and we've been told and we've read it and we're like, oh, okay, all right. So it's a private park, but there is a ruin. And all of the ruins in Mexico are property of the Mexican people. Not even of the government, of the Mexican people. And so, you know, we'd read that there was a program that lets you access the ruins through the park run by the archaeological. But we'd also read that it was so rare that one person every 3 months asks for the service. And I don't know whether it was chicken before the egg, whether so few people asked for the service to go see the ruins that they got rid of it, or they cut it back, or if it's a matter of, you know, so few people ask for the service because it's only so few hours of the day. But the first bad sign was we're getting on there on the highway and we see all these, there's just huge billboards the whole way for Xcaret and Xplor. And we get to Xcaret and there's not a sign on the highway saying there's an archaeological site. And we've been to all of these ruins and they all have signs on the highway telling you where the site is. And they have signs telling you, you know, 10K there's going to be a site. And there's, you know, pretty good highway signage. And so that was the first bad sign. And so then we have to make a detour and we go over and find our way to the Xcaret entrance. And there's no signage anywhere to tell you anything about this. And we never actually did find the INAH hut. There's somewhere with a false Mayan arch that is supposed to have the station for the INAH guides.
Probably hidden in one corner of the car park where you can never see it, just right. To make right. It even more obnoxious.
So we get to the front gate and we're like, hi, we would like access to the ruins. And they're like, well, access to the ruins, you have to buy a ticket. And it was like, no, we don't have to buy a ticket. We're students and we're looking for the INAH post because we want to have access to the ruins. And we've read that, yes, it's a private business. We understand it's a private business, but they are public ruins. And like, well, I'm sorry, but this is a private business. And it was just like a broken record. And finally, we found out from the guy that the INAH guides apparently only work between 11 and 1 Monday through Friday. Whereas, meanwhile, we've been to, I don't know, dozens of ruins, and the standard schedule. And I mean, by standard, I mean we've never seen a ruin that had a different schedule between 8 and 5 every day of the week.
Yeah.
And particularly Sunday, we were there on Sunday. And Sunday is the day that more people go to the ruins than any other day because it's the day that Mexicans can go to the ruins free.
And of course, you know, Mexicans are working Monday to Friday. They're not traveling like us and have every day off.
Right, exactly. So the notion that Xcaret would only be accessible Monday through Friday, 11 to 1, that one, there'd be no sign at the highway, that there'd be no sign directing people towards the NIH, I had suspected, because we've seen this before where even though the sites are public, the roads to get there are private, and it's kind of irritating, and it's kind of against the rule of the letter of the law, maybe, but
at least the spirit of the law.
Yeah, the spirit of the law. But still, you know, I sort of thought that it was, you had to access it through the park, but I did not realize that the Xcaret ruins are just entirely incorporated in the park, and they might as well be privately owned. I mean, it's the only site that's like this, as far as I know, in Mexico. And it's just the epitome of the way in which the Riviera Maya...
Riviera Maya.
Is just this privatization of Mexico's natural beauty and cultural heritage.
And if you look at the map of Xcaret, it's like, you can go to the roller coaster here, you can see a show here, we have archaeological ruins here. It's just like one of the attractions that they have.
Yeah,
in their,
it's
in
just
their
ridiculous. Like, here are the bathrooms, and here's the. And I had read about the Shkaret ruins, and they sounded like some pretty impressive ruins. And I, you know, was pretty excited to see them, but it was just a, it's just a travesty. It's,
yeah. And so they were still occupied until the Spanish came?
Yeah, I mean, that's why they were sort of an interesting site, is that they're similar to Tulum. They're a walled city as well on the coast, but they're actually walled to prevent people from attacking from the sea. And, yeah, it was an interesting site in that it was occupied up until the Spanish conquest, and that there was a Spanish garrison posted there in the town, in and that, you know, it was occupied by descendants of the Maya, and there's even the remains of a Spanish chapel there. But, yeah, so they sounded like interesting ruins, and it's just really a shame that they have been bought out like this in a way that's illegal in this country.
And even my obnoxiousness couldn't get us in.
Yeah.
As I argued for a very, very long time in Spanish. And didn't get us anywhere.
Well, so that's that. Shall I go to Shkaret? I don't know, leave a pipe bomb or something.